Slides. Well, that's a weird slide. I put that up there. So we're going to call your attention to one of the announcements in the bulletin here. I'm starting a Bible study in about 3 weeks on Saturday nights. It's going to run about 8 weeks. And it's a study on the book of Jeremiah. And I'm calling it Jeremiah, the Original Iron Man. Comic book movies are really popular. Now, this one was, the first Iron Man movie came out in 2008, I think, and is one of my favorites. Of all the Marvel superhero movies, I think it started all the new Marvel movies. Now, the Bible's not a comic book, though, right? And Jeremiah was not a billionaire womanizer, you know, that was a weapons dealer or anything. But I think what you're going to find in this Bible study is, have you ever wondered, if persecution came to my life, would I cave in? Would I deny Christ? And that's what this Bible study is all about. Finding your iron backbone to represent what God has called you to do. And that's what we're going to learn about in the Jeremiah study coming up in 3 weeks. So I'm excited about getting into the book of Jeremiah. There's a lot of good things waiting on us there. So rather than taking my own notes, I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to put my own opening remarks right up here on the slide so I can see them and you can see them too. You will need a pen and a bulletin this morning. So if you didn't get a bulletin, does anybody need a bulletin? We've got some of those. And there's some pens in the back. You will need that. So we need one up here on the front row, looks like. So Jeff's going to bring some of those back in. Anybody needs pens? All right. Boy, 2 weeks ago, our other pastor, Jack, I guess I should introduce myself, by the way. So I know we do have some visitors. My name is Ashley McGlone, and I'm one of the co-pastors here. Our other pastor is Jack Stockdale. And 2 weeks ago, he recited the last five chapters of Job from memory with passion. And if you weren't here to see that, make sure you go to the website and listen to the recording. That was absolutely fantastic. And he is actually doing that this weekend at Faith Walkers. He did that same Job rendition and taught about learning Scripture, memorizing Scripture. And that's what we're going to talk about today. He taught a session this weekend on Scripture memory. We're going to talk about that today as well. And we've been going through this Hebrews 11 series, which has been fantastic, but we're going to take a little detour and have some fun this morning. Not that other Sundays aren't fun, but I think this is going to be a lot of fun for us together this morning. And what better day in the year to set a goal for Scripture memory than the first day of the new year? So we're going to talk about this morning Scripture memory. And our vision, or I should say our mission statement here at New Song, is to follow Christ in every aspect of life, or every facet of life. And one of those things that Christ modeled for us was Scripture memorization. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And over the years, you've heard people tell you, memorize Scripture, maybe. But they didn't maybe always tell you how to do that. So this morning, we're specifically going to try to be very practical and share with you a technique that you can use to memorize Scripture to help you over this next year. So the title of our talk today is, Jesus Answered Him, It Is Written. Jesus Answered Him, It Is Written. So let's stand, if you will, and you can open your Bible to Luke 4 or in your bulletin. If you pull out the little sermon insert with those pictures on it, on the back side of that is our text today, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. So let's stand, and we're going to read together Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.
And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall serve the worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. You may be seated. There are lots of great sermons in this passage, and we're not going to dive into the details of every response and challenge here, although I'd love to take all afternoon to do that. We're not going to do that. We're going to talk about a couple things here. So Jesus responded to temptation by saying, "It is written." Jesus was quoting Scripture. Particularly in this passage here, Jesus was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and chapter 8. By the way, if you haven't read Deuteronomy chapter 6 lately, it's a fantastic chapter. It's got many famous passages that we've heard all of our lives in the church. Really recommend to spend some time. Maybe that's a great passage to start on memorizing this year. All right. So Jesus was quoting Scripture. Now you'll notice there's three exchanges here between the devil and Jesus. And he says, "It is written, it is written." And then the third time it changes up just a little bit. It says, "It is said." Now what's up with that? Well, if you go to the Matthew's version of the same story, he says three times, "It is written, it is written, it is written." I'm not sure why in Luke's account it says "it is said" on the third part here in verse 12. "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." He's still quoting Scripture there. Not sure why he says "it's said," but he basically three times Jesus is quoting Scripture in response to temptation. So why should we memorize Scripture? Because we are to imitate Christ. Christ memorized Scripture, and so should we. And you know, I actually have taken out about five slides in my sermon because I want to focus on some other things, but there is a long laundry list of reasons why you really should memorize Scripture. There's so many benefits of it. But I wanted to focus on this one point today. We should memorize Scripture because Jesus did. And it just landed with me this week as I was studying for this message that, wow, you know, I never really thought of it that way. I always thought of all these other things, but yet Jesus memorized Scripture. You know, the Hebrew culture, the priests, they would memorize Scripture. There was a big emphasis on that. And I'm grateful that in our church and in our association, there is a big emphasis on memorizing Scripture. And I don't think we talk about it enough. I think Jack said after his message a couple weeks ago, some folks were suggesting, hey, why don't we start a small group all about Scripture memory where we can practice with each other? And I think that's a great idea. Was that your idea, Sue?
I think it was Janice.
Janice? Okay, yeah. So it's a great to talk about memorizing Scripture. Now, I do want to take one slight detour to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 here, because in Ephesians 6, we have the spiritual armor passage, where it says to take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I know we have some gamers here this morning. We're not all gamers, right? Video game type people. For those of you who don't know what a gamer is, right? That's people who spend their life playing video games. And we have some of those here this morning. And in video games, you are often trying to level up your weapons and level up your armor so you can take the next battle and you can be superior when you go into that next battle, right? And so think about, what does your fear sword look like? All right, using this video game analogy, right? So you start out your gun, and maybe you're in your game, all you've got is a pistol. All right, that's pretty decent. But let's say no, they start you out with a pocket knife, and there's not a lot you can do with that pocket knife, right? But then your next level, you get a dagger, and that's a little bit longer, all right? And by the end of the thing, you've got one of these Conan barbarians, like 5-foot-long broadswords, right? So there's all these levels of swords that you could have. How stubby is your sword when it's up here? The sword of the word that's in your mind, in your heart, do you have a pocket knife? When it comes to fear, I put this example up there specifically because several years ago, I was battling fear and anxiety on a daily basis, and I don't want to go back there. But how did I get out of that? There was some help from a doctor, but also I spent a lot of time in fear and anxiety, and I realized people have told you before it's all in your head. But it finally dawned on me that it really was all in my head, this fear and this anxiety. And I had to wash my mind, to renew my mind with the Word. And so I found, did you know there are all kinds of scriptures about anxiety and being anxious and fear? And so I began to memorize those scriptures and change the way I thought. And so I built up my sword in relationship to fear. Now, for the gamers here, you know that different levels require different weapons. So what if your battle today is salvation? Maybe you're praying for someone's salvation. How big is your list of salvation scriptures that you have memorized that you can pray for people? All right, or how about healing? That's a popular prayer request. How big is your healing sword when you are praying for someone, and maybe you don't have your Bible handy, maybe someone comes up to you at work or at school and they have a need, you want to pray for them, can you call to mind the Isaiah passages where by his stripes we are healed? And I don't have all those memorized. This message, by the way, today is as much for me as it is for you, because I've memorized scripture over the years, but I've not been as disciplined as I need to be. So this part of this is for me. But I had a pastor in my life when I was in college. God completely healed him of cancer with no medicine. And I have never seen any person in my life that could quote every scripture on healing in the entire Bible. This man had it down because he clung to those scriptures every day through the pain and the suffering of the years of his cancer. He lived on the Word of God. And the reality of this is, how big is your... You fill in the blank. What is it in your life right now that you're doing battle? What area of your life are you in a battle right now where you need the truth of God's Word to make that difference? How big is your sword in that department or that category? Have you gone to the Word? Maybe you've read passages, but have you committed them into your heart for long-term storage and use so that you can go back to those things? So the question is, am I spiritually equipped for anything with the Word, that's for any situation that Satan might throw at me? Now, when Satan and Jesus are sparring in the desert during his temptation, Satan even begins to quote Psalm 91 to Jesus. So that there's something about quoting Scripture, but there's also something about applying it correctly to the situation, which Satan was not doing here. He was using the Word for his own purposes. But again, Jesus simply replied. Notice how Jesus did this also, by the way. There were times like the Sermon on the Mount or in the upper room when Jesus, we recorded chapters and chapters of what Jesus said. But when he healed somebody, he just said, be healed. When he talked to Satan, he said, it is written. He didn't debate Satan. And one of the points I found as I was studying scripture memory a while back, there's a website called memorizethebible.com, and it's this book that was written by this Dr. Daniel Evans, I've got his name somewhere in the slides, but he was one of Moody's converts in New York City. He was a businessman, and Moody says, you need to come back to my Bible school in Chicago. And he was the first graduate from Moody Bible. He memorized the entire Bible. And then he memorized the New Testament again in a different translation. This guy devoured the word and memorized it. And he says in this is a free little ebook you can read on his website. It says, well, it's not his website. I think he's long gone now. But the book that they published, he talks about how Scripture kind of just stops the debate. Two people can be theologically debating one another and diving into details. And it becomes a contest of rhetoric almost. Who can one-up the other one intellectually? But when you put Scripture in there, nobody can argue with that. Now, among believers, maybe that's the case. Among unbelievers, maybe they don't recognize God's Word. That's a different story altogether. But when you bring Scripture into the conversation, it brings clarity. And so Jesus didn't get into these long debates with Satan. He didn't have a conversation. And say, well, you really should. You've twisted that all up. And he didn't get into that. He just quoted a verse. So when Satan comes to us in these different areas of our life, how prepared are we to engage? So that's kind of the setup here. Now we want to talk about memory techniques. How do I memorize Scripture? Now, I'm going to share with you a couple of examples, techniques that I've used to memorize Scripture, and then I'm going to spend most of the time on one particular technique. And I don't want you to think that I'm saying this is the only one you can use or this. There's so many different ways you can memorize Scripture, but I wanted to be practical this morning. So Ephesians chapter 6, I memorized, I think it was the verses 10 through 20, the spiritual armor section. And have you ever used a song to memorize Scripture? I love the old Scripture songs that we sing that makes it really easy. So I did this thing. And this is kind of my own thing, and I'm going to maybe embarrass myself this morning. But there's a little bit of rhythm. I'm a musician. There's a little bit of rhythm involved. And I decided I'm going to memorize Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole. And so I did this little kind of calling back and forth, this little rhyme that kind of goes like this. Finally. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. That you may be able to stand. All right. So that's what goes on in my head when I'm quoting that verse anyway. But so you can have fun with this, you know. Put some rhythm to it. Put some lyrics to it or some song. So you can use rhythm and music is a great way to memorize Scripture. Mark chapter 14, verses 37 and 38 was our memory verse for our Bible study last winter that we did on prayer at my house. And the way I did that one is I've got a screenshot I'm going to show you a little bit later, but I would take the passage and I would break it down into phrases. If I'm doing just a single verse, this is probably easier. Take a couple verses, and so I'll take the verse, and because I'm writing on my computer, and I'll put carriage returns in there, and I'll kind of line up the phrases and find keywords and bold certain things, underline certain things, and what I'm doing is I'm making associations between different words in the passage, so that when I remember it, I'm kind of visualizing the words that they were written on the page, and these associations in memory techniques. When you read books on memory and how it works, it's all about linking things together. So if you can kind of see key phrases that kind of link together in the passage, it helps. And I've got another example that I'll show you a little bit later. Another one I picked up from Tom Meyer, who's known as the Bible Memory Man. I found this guy on the Answers in Genesis website. He was speaking. He comes down to the Creation Museum from time to time to do a presentation. And so I started looking up what this guy does, and he's memorized whole books of the Bible. And that's his thing, is he recites these whole books of the Bible, and it's amazing what he does. And I watched a video where he was talking about how he does some of his memorization. And he'll actually take a verse and break it into phrases and then count how many words are in each one, and it becomes this number thing with numbers that kind of link, or how many syllables. And I was thinking of Jack challenged us all earlier this year. He had this list of popular scriptures to memorize, and one of those was this passage, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We'll see if I can do it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So the way I memorized that was I thought, okay, wait, I put the word therefore, and then there's four lines of five words each. It's goofy, right? But it sticks. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's five words. The old has passed away, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Behold, the new. He is a new creation. The new has. So basically, there's four little phrases of five words each. And I know that's goofy, but doing these goofy little things, that's what makes it stick in your head. So I could remember there's 5, 5, 5, and 5. And so I'll do that sometimes to break up a passage. And that was a cool trick from him. Jonah chapter 1 I memorized several years ago. This is the message God gave Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the city of Nineveh and announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. And Jonah got up and went, but he went the opposite direction. And so I memorized the first chapter of Jonah using a different technique, and I used different translations too. That one was the New Living that I started memorizing in, because I liked the dynamic nature of the story, the way the vocabulary was in it. But in that technique, I believe that at the time I had this card system. Everybody's probably used a card system where you write one verse on a card, then you take the next card and the next card. And so you kind of get into this like three-card rotation. People teach it all kinds of different ways. So I'll take one verse and I'll just... The technique... I had a buddy back in Kentucky who went to a conference and met this guy from Hawaii who wrote a book on scripture memory. Go figure. And he said, you just read this passage 3 times in the morning, or 10 times. Yeah, you read it 10 times in the morning when you get up, 10 times at night before you go to bed. Just read it. Don't have to try to memorize it. Just read it. Do that for a week and you're going to remember it. Read it 10 times in the morning, 10 times at night. Do that for a week and it sticks. So I was trying that as I memorized the book of Jonah, and it was just kind of one of those brute force repetition things, just over and over reciting the passage, and that works for some people as well. But the one I want us to focus on today that I think is the easiest and fastest is something called the method of Loci, or loci, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Or memory palaces. I think this has been popularized recently in one of the Sherlock Holmes series, called the Sherlock's Palace or something like that. I haven't watched it, I've heard. So I memorized 1 Peter 5 using this technique. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the divine glory yet to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, he will give you the unfading crown of righteousness. Something like that. It's really close. All right. So this technique, the method of loci, is... sounds funny, The word loci is Latin. It means places. Think about our English word location, local. That's where we get the word. It's that's the L-O-C part of it there. It comes from the Latin root. And this is going to be a lot of fun, I promise. And it works no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. And there's this idea that some people say, oh, my mind's full, I can't remember anything else. That's bunk, all right? That's not true. You can still do this. And I'm going to tell you why. So there's this guy, Simonides. I guess that's how you say his name. 500 BC, invented this technique. So this is like 2,500 years old, what I'm getting ready to share with you here. And I don't want to elevate this technique to the level of Scripture, okay? This is a secular guy who was a poet in 500 BC and invented this technique. It's a really cool story. I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but you can go look up this guy named Quintilian. And he was writing in 95 AD, right about the same time John was writing the book of Revelation. That's how old this is, this technique. Now, Quintilian was an orator, and the orators in the Roman Empire were legendary. And so we had Quintilian and Cicero also writing at this time about a guy named Simonides 500 years earlier, and they're telling this legend about how this idea of memory came up. And Quintilian wrote this book called The Institutions of Oratory because he taught oratory. He was an orator. And these guys didn't have smartphones and tablets. You know, they had, everything had to be in their head that they wanted to say. There are arguments that, you know, lawyers and different ones who are pleading their case before the courts, these orators, that was their thing. This was their art form, was how to speak. I actually used this technique a couple years ago. Does anybody remember when I did the retelling of Luke? And I was portraying as if I were Luke. And I had this story, it was like 45 minutes. And I stood up here with no notes and presented this first-person narrative as Luke using this technique to remember what's my next point, my next line, my next, where's this going, right? And it gets a way to order things and remember them. So if you can actually look this up for free online. You look up Institutio Oratoria, Book 11, Chapter 2, and you can read what Quintilian had to say about using this memory technique. It's out there on all kinds of free websites. And then there's the 1980s infomercials. I put that in there for fun because I remember this guy named Kevin Trudeau had this program called Memory Magic, and you buy this series of cassettes and you learn how to memorize things, right? People have been hawking these same techniques for thousands of years that some wise guy back in 500 BC came up with the technique, all right? So go read the story about Simonides. It's really fascinating. But people have been retelling these same techniques over the years. All right, enough of that. So how do we do this? All right, this is fun. What you're going to do is you're going to create a mental map walking through some place that's really familiar, like your own house. Okay, you're just out taking a walk. It could be your house. Now, I was counting up the other day, how many places have I lived? It's at least like 6 or 7 or 8 different homes that I've grown up in, moved from one place to the next. I have these places because I spent my days for years in these homes. I have that layout memorized. So if you just pretend that you're standing on the sidewalk, and you go to the mailbox, then you walk up the driveway, you're standing at the front door, you walk in the front door, and our current home, you walk into the family room, there's a dining room, there's a kitchen, and you just kind of walk through the house. That's the first thing, is to create a mental map that you're going to walk through in the same order every time. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, this technique sounds like a lot of work. And you're going to say, are you kidding me? But I promise you, it is counterintuitive. It sounds harder. It sounds like more work. But in the end, you can't forget. I promise you, it's going to be so good. Here we go. So we walk through the map in the same order every time. And then what we do is in each room or each place, we create these crazy word pictures. So I'll walk through the 1 Peter 5 illustration as an example with you here in just a minute. So you're going to create these crazy word pictures that you can't forget. What did it smell? What did it look like? What did you hear? Just create this multi-sensory mental picture of what happened in that room. And you begin to stack these up with each verse in a passage. Let's say you find some imagery in that verse. And we're going to practice this in a little bit, by the way. That's why you need a pen and your bulletin insert. And optionally, you can add word pictures for the number associated with the verse. So in the same little loci or memory palace, this room, right, you're going to create pictures of numbers as well. And I've got a way to help you with that. And then you're going to read the literal text. Once you've kind of, I go through the text and I find what are the key words that I want to focus on in each verse. And then I locate them in each one of those rooms in my memory palaces, all right? And then I just walk through and literally read the text as I'm thinking through and practice just like I would memorizing a passage. But now I'm thinking about this mental image when I'm in each room of the memory palaces, they call it. So here's some examples of pictures that you might use to put into your silly illustrations. Now, there's a copy of these in your bulletin insert here. And I got the swan backwards, so you'll have to forgive me on that. The swan looks like a number two. Can you see that? Does a swan look like a number two, kind of with the crook of its neck there? All right. A candle looks like the number one. A pitchfork looks like the number three with the fork on the end. A sailboat looks like the number four, doesn't it? What if we have a seahorse with that funny crook in its neck and a curly tail looks kind of like a five or a six? What if we see the wick on a little bomb and that makes the little hook at the top of the six? Or a seven's a crowbar. That could be good or bad, couldn't it? Eight is an hourglass, all right? Nine is a balloon. And then zero, or you could use a one, a candlestick, and a ball would be the zero, all right? So you can involve these in your mental crazy pictures that you try to remember verses. So I've got a copy of that for you there in the bulletin inserts if you want to try this. And this is going to be really crazy, all right? But here we go. And you can do this. By the way, there are so many books on memory techniques out there. One of the latest books is one called Moonwalking with Einstein. Really weird title. But it's this journalist, and he went to the International Memory Championships. There's actually a competition where people will memorize like 40 decks of cards in random orders, phone books, just stupid stunts with their brain, memorizing a random list of 1,000 words, you know. And they compete this way. And the journalist said this contest was really boring because it was just a bunch of quiet people sitting in a room memorizing things, right? And Quintilian talks about this in his thing about how these famous orators would memorize 20,000 random words, and stupid stuff, right? But we're going to use this to memorize scripture. Anyway, Moonwalking with Einstein. So the journalist comes back after he reviews this conference, comes back the next year and wins the memory championship because somebody while he was there told him, anybody can do this. I'm just a regular guy, and I learned a few tricks, and now you can do it too. And so he came back, and he wrote a book about it. Anyway, here's my 1 Peter 5. So some of you have been to my house, some of you haven't. It doesn't matter, because we're just going to create these little places in our mind to think about. So I'm standing in front of my house at the mailbox, and I see this big rock, like this big mounded, this big rock out there, and it's got a candlestick and a seahorse and another candlestick, kind of a weird arrangement on this rock. And we know that Peter, his name means rock, right? So it's 1 Peter, candle, 1, 1 Peter, rock, 5, 1, seahorse, and a candlestick, right? Stupid picture, but it works. And now standing around this picture are all this group of people. And there's this little old lady who's sewing, like sitting there in front of this rock, just sitting there sewing. But then there's different people, different ages, standing around this rock. And all the old people have a red X over their face.
standing around this rock by my mailbox in the front of my house. And the first verse says, "So I exhort the elders among you." It's a goofy mental picture, but I can't forget that now. This little old lady sewing, and in this group of people, the older people have an X over their face. "So I exhort the elders among you" in this group. Okay, so that's the first Peter, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." Well, in my driveway, I have a basketball goal. We've used it like maybe 3 times in 6 years. We're not athletics people in my family. I'm looking at this basketball goal. Actually, I'm not standing in front of it. I see 2 other people standing in front of this basketball goal. And one of them kind of has their arm around the other, kind of in a fatherly kind of way. 2 guys, and they're looking up at this basketball goal. "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ," looking up at the cross, which is the basketball goal, all right? We're just, again, take whatever kind of stuff is in your room, in your driveway, and make it into a funny word picture, all right? So then I get to the front porch, and there's this blinding bright light coming out of the front door. So I exhort the elders among you as a... That's funny because now I'm trying to do this in front of people, right? And I can't remember. "As a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the divine glory yet to be revealed." In this bright light, this glory is like coming out of the front door. And then I step inside the front door, and there's a swan and a sheep. What in the world? A swan and a sheep? Well, verse 2 is the swan. And it says, "Shepherd the flock of God that's among you." So there's a sheep, a bunch of sheep in my living room, but this swan doesn't make any sense at all. But I can't forget that now that I've seen it. And then I walk into my dining room there, and there's like the Grand Canyon in the middle of the floor. And I'm doing jumping jacks. I'm exercising oversight. All right, I'm looking down into the Grand Canyon. That's over. Again, that's just the goofy pictures that came into my mind, and it works. And here's the crazy thing. I memorized 11 verses of 1 Peter chapter 5 in less than 24 hours. Now, your other Bible memory techniques are telling you to maybe 1 or 2 verses a week. That's why I want to share with you this one, because I was able to do 11 verses in less than 24 hours. Because all of a sudden I had these crazy pictures from one room to the next. And the benefit of it is, like, when I memorized the first chapter of Jonah, I couldn't tell you what verse 12 was in the book of Jonah. I didn't do it that way. But I can tell you that verse 8 in 1 Peter 5 is indexed in my mind because I see an hourglass in that picture in that room in my house. Be sober-minded, be watchful. And so I see a person with a beer bottle sticking out of their head. It's like halfway implanted in their head. Sober-minded, right? Not a beer bottle-minded. Sober, be sober-minded. And then they've got 2 watches, like with bands, and the watches are right over their eyes, you know, on their face. Be watchful. Stupid stuff, but it works. And there's an hourglass in the room with them. So I know, okay, 1 Peter 5, 8, hourglass. Be sober-minded, be watchful. And then I look down into the laundry on that level of my home, and I see a lion. Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But then in the bathroom right next door to that, there's a balloon for verse 9. And the person inside the door is leaning against the door, resist him firm in the faith. And so you can do this. And so now I've actually indexed in my mind each verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. Using these crazy things. It sounds like a lot of work, but I promise if you take the time just to sit down and write out a list of each room in your house. Now, there are other varieties of this technique where you said, I go into the living room, and instead of just putting one thing in the living room, I put something on the couch, I put something on the bookshelf, put something by the lamp, and I put maybe 4 or 5 places in each room. And you always go through them in the same order,
in each room. If you have longer lists of things to memorize, longer passages, and you just create these places and these associations that you can use to memorize things. Now, the first time I saw this, I thought, that sounds like a lot of work. But what we're going to do is we're going to try this. So I want you to take out your bulletin insert. And on the back of that bulletin insert, there is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, mapped out for you there. I've taken the liberty of bolding some of the maybe more imagery-type words in some of these passages. And so let's think about this together, just as a little exercise here. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, this is verse 1. So what would we use mentally in our picture here? Let's say you now think about your own house where you live right now. Let's say you're out on the porch or in the driveway and come up with some image in your mind. What would we use for the number one in our picture?
Candlestick.
Candlestick, okay. So there's a candlestick here. Now, do you know anybody named Luke? All right. I've got a nephew named Luke, so I see my nephew Luke. And the weird thing is Luke is holding a sailboat and he's got this candlestick like he's trying to catch it on fire. You're going to burn yourself. You're going to burn up the sailboat. But wait a minute. Luke is holding a sailboat with a candlestick in my driveway. What does that mean? Luke chapter 4, the sailboat is the 4. He's trying to light it with a candlestick, verse 1. But right there beside Luke is Jesus. And he's telling him, Luke, don't burn the sailboat. All right, so there's Jesus standing beside him. Now, do you know somebody named Jordan? I think some of you might know somebody named Jordan. But then there's Jesus and Luke, but then there's this person named Jordan over there too. And Jordan's like saying, hey, let's go for a hike. Let's go hiking, and we're out in the wilderness, right? So I'm just kind of create this image, and you can do this yourself. Think about what it looks like in the front of your house. In your driveway. Now we've got Luke with a sailboat trying to light it up with a candlestick. We've got Jesus saying, don't do that. We've got Jordan saying, hey, let's go for a hike. So all of a sudden, we know we've got Jesus, Jordan, and wilderness, effectively, are those key words. And then once I've taken the time to actually look at the literal verse, the words, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. So I've got all the ingredients now kind of wrapped up, the key words wrapped up in this silly little picture in my mind, standing in the driveway or on the front porch. So now let's go to the next room. There's a swan for the number 2. Now maybe let's say you're in your foyer, your entryway, your living room. Picture this in your mind. You can write down a little note there about what place you're sticking that in. And so we got the number 40. Being tempted by the devil. So he ate nothing during those days, and when they ended, he became hungry. So let's say we've got the classic red little devil guy with horns and the pointy tail. We know that's not what he really looks like, but it makes for a great picture in your head. And he's wearing a football jersey with the number 40 on it. You got the devil. You got the number 40. And so then over here's Jesus again, and he's kind of doubled over because he looks really hungry. His cheeks are drawn in a little bit. He is hungry. He hasn't eaten for 40 days. So now we've got the devil, we got the number 40, and we got Jesus hungry now in this room, and there's a swan sitting on Jesus' lap. Isn't that goofy? There's a swan sitting on Jesus' lap because this is verse 2 in Luke chapter 4. Where verse 1, Luke was holding a sailboat trying to light it with a candle. Does this make sense to anybody? You guys are just really staring at me. I want to make sure, am I losing my mind or does this really work, you think? You think you could do this? Okay, and it's going to take some time, right? But if you take some time, take this home this week, and I haven't memorized this already. The problem is, as a teacher, and the Bible says that teachers are held to a higher standard, that means if I tell you guys to go home and memorize this week, that means I got to do it too. So can we do it? Can we do it this week? Can we memorize these 13 verses? I haven't done it yet, so I'm starting off at the same place you are. Let's try this week. Let's memorize this passage where Jesus models for us quoting Scripture. All right. So we'll try that. Now, there's some common elements to all these different memory techniques. Whichever one you want to try or play with, This is an example of taking a passage and realigning the words and phrases, and this is just a technique that I use. You do whatever works for you. But I took this passage, and he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon. So I've lined up the words and I can see. And the idea here is that, you know, the brain works best when you can link information to something else you already know. If you start completely from scratch learning something new with no context, no frame of reference, nothing to tie it to, it makes it a lot harder. So what you do is, in this case, we're creating associations and links between these different phrases in the passage. And so Peter, so the word sleeping there in the second line is also kind of close to Peter. Simon, are you asleep? And so now I kind of create that little link between those two lines. You create this little linkage between these different phrases, and it gives you triggers on how to remember the different phrases in the verse. Could you not watch 1 hour, watch and pray that you may, there's a little bit of a rhyme, not enter into temptation? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So a little bit of alliteration, a little bit of rhyme, and you can kind of arrange things. That's one technique that kind of helps you break down and analyze a verse from memory to create these little associations, these little tricks that make your brain remember things. So regardless of which technique you choose, you want to always try to use the exact same printed version of the text. Because if you're doing this on your Kindle, and every time you, let's say you change the size of the font, now the words are in a different order on the page, and that, or you go to the next page and you go back. The way the Kindle does that, you ever notice it? It's like it rearranges the text on the page, and you can't really see the same page twice on the Kindle. Don't do it that way. You want to write it down, print it in some way that's always going to look the same every time you look at it, so you see that in your mind's eye. So you create these mental pictures. You know, I'm looking at this passage thinking, I see Simon, Peter, there asleep, you know, draped over one of the other disciples maybe, and they're propped up against a tree in the garden while Jesus is off praying. And so I see this mental image of these guys. And so then we associate that with something that we're familiar with. So we could put that little picture then in a larger context of a room in our house as we're going through the larger passage. Then whatever you do, you always want to practice out loud. Whichever memory technique, you want to practice saying these things out loud. And then review it until it moves into long-term memory. The thing that bothers me is that at one point I had memorized Hebrews chapter 11, 40 verses in the New King James. This was several years ago, and I used the flashcards. And then I can't quote that chapter anymore because I just stopped reviewing it. So you've got to make, this is New Year's Day, right? Going to make those resolutions. I'm going to carve out a few minutes. You know, in 15 minutes a day, you too can memorize the Bible, right? We're going to hear all those commercials today and this week, right? And just 15 minutes a day this year, but it does make a difference. It does when you can implant this in your heart. So you want to review and review and review. And so as I'm trying to fall asleep at night, or I travel a lot for work, I'm waiting in line in the jetway, waiting to get on the airplane, I can't really do any real work during these times, so I'll just fire up my scriptures in my head and go over these passages. And it's a great way to take the Word of God with you anywhere you go. And as you review those, then they'll move from short-term memory into long-term memory. And you could even forget for a week, and all of a sudden, once that passage has moved to long-term memory, it's there. And you do need to review from time to time, because I've experienced some degradation in certain phrases or words in a longer passage. I need to go back and review those from time to time to keep them fresh. But it's really worth it. So a couple quick things. There's an app for your phone, wouldn't you know it? FighterVerses.com. There's a great sermon by John Piper on scripture memory. Go check it out on YouTube. It's 47 minutes long. He does this fantastic sermon, and he starts out at the beginning of the sermon just quoting chapters and chapters and chapters. It's really impressive. And then he goes into all these different reasons why you should memorize scripture, and he says one of them, he gives eight reasons. One of them is because you can hit the devil in the face with a force that he cannot resist to protect yourself and your family with scripture. So memorizethebible.com. That's If My Words Abide in You is that John Piper YouTube video. Go to your local library. There are tons of books on memory tricks that you can find there. And the internet's an ocean, right? Just go search scripture memory. You'll find tons of techniques. Find something that works for you. You can use the method of loci or memory palaces. Find something that works for you. So this is one fun technique. Find something that works for you. And then choose passages with power and meaning in your life. Build up that sword in that category. Whatever it is that you're grappling with right now in your walk, in your family, in your job, whatever it is, find the passages that are meaningful in that situation. Begin to commit those to memory. And finally, follow Christ's example. Jesus answered him, "It is written." And he set the example for us. Because he did it, we should do it too. Let's pray.